Mr. Ding-a-ling rings twice.
I'm like, how's old Frankie Turner doing, you know?
Ooh.
It was 2005! Ding! Jim Johnson and the Jug Band 5, you know, they were all playing on jugs.
Is it Everything Goes Numb? Because I have a tattoo on my dating history.
Grape, one hundo.
Damn, not even like a titty you found online?
It's the 413, let's tell everybody to listen to our show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the 413 podcast featuring the PCB peeps. And unfortunately, tonight, we didn't write any intros, so this is just off the cuff tonight. So I want to introduce our first, the bad boy of podcasting, Joe Rogaine himself. It's Andy.
Oh, God, thank you.
Happy to have you here. Followed by the most feminine energy we could possibly bring to the podcast. She's the high-pitched voice other than Andy singing. It's Abby.
Hey.
And we've got Old Man River.
Oh, man.
The icon of Pittsfield Punk. It's Bill.
Yo, what up, peeps?
Our right-hand man. He's always rocking a baseball cap the correct way. If you want to tell Bill? It's Jared.
Hi.
And I am your host this evening. I'm Eric.
Yeah. Whoa, hold on.
Double hello.
Andy, what up, Eric? I said what
Mr.
I said.
Cookie himself, okay? Mr. Cookie Cake, as we were talking about. Mr. Cookie.
It's Eric. He's a snack.
Oh. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, this evening, we're talking about albums from the 2000s, the early aughts, 2000 to 2005. Any genre, just something we feel like is underrated. And the reason we're doing this episode tonight is we've talked a lot about the 2000s in this season. We've had Tales from the Pits with Joe and Brendan and kind of rehashed a lot of the music that we played and listened to in those years. And it brought me down a little bit of a rabbit hole to go back and find a bunch of albums and CDs that I used to listen to I haven't heard in some time and felt like, wow, while there's a lot of trash out there, there are some real bangers that I feel like didn't get a lot of cred. And we'd like to mention them tonight. So hopefully it's something new for you all as listeners to maybe check out. Maybe it reminds you of a great album that you haven't listened to in a while, or again, it's something new to add on to the old Spotify playlist. So I'm going to kick it over to Bill to start, to just give us one of your picks here for underrated albums of the 2000s.
Thanks, Eric. I'm going to start with the year 2000. And this is a band that a buddy of mine, Abby and I, and another friend, Mike, all went to Westfield, and Mike and I commuted. And one day, there's going to be a couple albums on this list that were inspired by him. But he put this on, and this is a great album if you're going to the gym to throw on. It's a early 2000s hardcore band called Carry On, and the album is called A Life Less Plagued. That song, the self-titled song on there.
Everything is shit. I yell, I laugh, I try, I fail, I hate. Still no love, the wall breaks up pretty well.
It's a banger. This is always win. Roll with the punches off my chest. Literally, if it's chest day, put on off my chest. It's such a banger.
Now,
every day's chest day.
Attaboy, Andy.
Do you recommend wearing a titty bear while you listen to that?
Oh, I always wear a teddy bear when I'm driving.
Okay, just want to make sure. That's a great if you're gonna really jam out. So I don't know that I've heard them. Is this a straight edge band?
They are a straight edge hardcore band, yes.
Wow, couldn't have told from the
X's always win.
Wild guess.
Quick question. How many packs of cigarettes did you smoke while listening to this band?
Oh my God. Yeah. If we could dig up a picture for the gram of me smoking a cigarette when I'm X'd up because I'm an asshole, we should do that.
So is that what you mean by chest day? Is the working out your lungs really hard by smoking?
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. I'm going to add that one because if it's early 2000s straight edge hardcore, it's got to be good. Oh,
yeah. I can't wait.
I know. I picture all the straight edge kids at the shows just being very angry at everybody else who's either drinking or smoking a cigarette listening to the band live.
I feel like I was friends with a lot of straight edge people.
Yeah, I think we were.
I think that they also probably wanted to punch me quite a few times.
Never. Yeah. I always go, yeah, I'm straight edge. They go, you're smoking a cigarette. And I go, listen, guys, got to loosen up a little bit, right?
You also take Flintstone vitamins, Andy. I'm pretty sure those are not straight edge.
What? Those are 100% straight edge.
Those Dinos have something in them. Don't even try.
You need a Dino for chest day, I'll tell you that.
Fred's nailed to the X.
100%. Did they even have a Barney? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Was it just Fred and Dino?
Probably.
Definitely a Barney. No, there's definitely a Barney. Okay.
Could you get a Bam Bam?
I think Bigelow? That was a Bam Bam.
They're supposed to be the whole family. Yeah, Bam Bam, Bigelow, that'd be awesome.
If you had to pick a flavor for Barney, where are we going?
Grape, 100.
I was going to say grape. No, yeah.
Dino's grape.
Yeah.
No. Dino's green. I mean, he's not at all green, but he's green.
In what world?
Maybe sour apple for Barney.
Yeah, he's bitter.
Andy's right.
Is it really? Yeah, I told you.
No, they're all, is he? What?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I thought we were picking flavors for all of them, but then like people knew real ones. They were like,
that's
going to
have to be his own episode. Well, with that, Andy, do you want to give us a pick from?
Hell yeah, I do. I want to say, I'm going to go with 2000s with Bill. Rufio, perhaps, I suppose. I feel like that album should have been bigger. I mean, if you just think about it, the entire album, the guitar is absolutely amazing. She Cries and Slow Dance are amazing songs. But I thought the band should have blown up from
there. It came from the pain that he left inside your heart. Fallen in the rain, your whole life has fallen apart.
Is that's the album that has Above Me on it, right?
I believe so, yeah.
That's that one.
So,
I mean, pretty much all.
Can we all agree that that was like mind-blowing to listen to that guitar riff on a pop punk album?
Yeah.
The guitar on every damn song is just great. That album, start to finish, amazing.
But that riff specifically, it was like someone took a Tom DeLonge riff and sped it up by 2 times.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit. And then it just starts cranking out. I got to throw it out there just because I do agree that the album is good. I don't think they got the credibility that they should have, because didn't they kind of like try to go in under the like religious band vibe?
Were they?
I think they were on the ticket with Reliant K, if that's...
Yeah, yeah. They were. But
we saw them play with MXPX, so does that make them Christian too? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, well, a lot of people...
Well, they started out as a Christian band. They were on a Christian label. Yeah. I think a lot of pop punk bands potentially came up on those Christian labels because, like,
especially
hey,
like the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, Slick Shoes and those bands and stuff. But I think that the band was really solid, but like from a mixing perspective, like I thought the vocals always sounded crappy.
Oh, I saw them live and that's exactly what he sounded like. That's
It's all like doubled, and so it sounds like it's not very like focused and clear. It's like very like wishy-washy on the recordings. I don't know.
It's supposed to be big and noisy, I think. So it was all...
It's hard because you're trying to cut through like those ripping guitars and like, you know, bass lines and stuff. Oh, another appearance from Andy's dog. Caitlin, shut that dog up. Damn, he's putting some bass in his voice back there. He's like, take the fucking dog out of here.
I don't see anything about it being a Christian band, though.
Okay. I think they
to be
just.
Fair, I just wanted to make it seem like I was doing something, so I was pointing at him. I muted, so.
I know.
We're cutting that out anyway, so.
Are we?
Are we? Because you keep saying we're cutting shit out and then it makes the final cut.
That's true. I shouldn't say we're cutting anything out because you never know. Wick's like, no, I'm going to put it on a track later on for discard
and
stuff.
Sometimes you go on too long. And by the time we get to the end of it, I'm like, I can't cut all that. It's too much. It's 9 minutes of the episode.
Rufio. I mean, perhaps, I suppose. Amazing guitar.
It's a good album.
A great album.
I mean, can we take them seriously with the name like Rufio, with the hook inspiration?
I don't know. Used the they sound started clip with the clip.
Yeah, the clip.
Yeah.
That was half the fun. Yeah.
Rufio. I think their problem is they signed to Nitro Records afterwards.
Oh, yeah. That's a dead end. They have one fan that's Bill. He bought all their merch.
It's true. Like this one person is keeping us going and we're ruining bands.
It was probably me. I bought the first three albums they put out anyway. I had the other ones.
Right on. Nice. Two Nitro fans in Pittsfield.
They should move their whole operation out here, make shipping costs a lot lower for themselves.
I definitely appreciate that pick, Andy, because that's one that is like on that like tip of my tongue kind of thing, you know, where you're like, what's an album I really like that I feel like I haven't listened to in forever? I want to get some variety in my commute, you know, and that's a good pick there. Jared, do you want to give us a pick?
2002 Hot Rod Circuit. Mm. Sorry About Tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, it should be more available, I suppose. Right.
Yeah. Another band that just didn't get enough credit for being pretty different. They're kind of like a southern pop punk band.
Yeah.
Like a lot of twang.
Spacey Casey and the steel guitar. Shit.
Oh, when he started bringing that on stage.
They remind me a bit of Small Brown Bike, like that kind of like southern feel, but like pop, like just a great, great album and a great band. That's a good, I got to put that on my list to throw on a playlist. Like
everything about that album is great. Like the cover art is simple. It gets you like in the vibe for that whole album. The first track, just like guitar vocals and the pharmacist, right? And then like pops in to that big chorus, like, oh
yeah, dude. That might be one of my favorite songs too. Oh wow,
just the last chord that was on the way out too.
Yeah. Oh, and what's the last track? The Night They Blew Up the Moon. Like, yeah. if you just listen to like The Pharmacist and then The Night They Blew Up the Moon, like back to back, it sounds like they would have been on two different albums. They're pretty different. Yeah. The whole middle section of the album, the songs like are so tight and they sound very similar to each other, but they're so different at the same time in such a great way. But there's points where if you just bounce around the tracks or put it on shuffle, you forget which track it's on for a second until you hear the lyric. You're like, wait, oh no, this is Knees. Okay, yeah.
Yes. When we went and saw them, I remember having that experience quite a bit. Yeah.
But super hooky. Like the whole thing, it just has like hook after hook, excellent harmony after excellent harmony. What's your favorite track on there, Jared? Do you have one? Track numbers are fine too. Because I have the album actually right next to me. I can grab it.
I mean, The Pharmacist was it.
Yes.
For the longest time for me.
Everyone makes mistakes. You let me down. The last time you failed. And there's nothing you can hide. And I wash my hands of you. Getting on with my life.
Not a great video. Getting on with my life. Music video.
I've never seen the video.
Really? Though? I think they're playing in like a record store, right?
With a pretty girl, right? Like,
yeah, I think it's a chick from the album cover.
This sounds like an amazing video.
subsequent albums are also very good, but in case they're on someone's list, we won't mention them.
They had better videos too, because they had the
true.
At some point, we should do that. It's terrible music.
Yeah,
music videos.
Love it.
Yeah, stateside is when they're all like conjoined twins, and then they have an accident.
it's working at the grocery store.
Like Centipede.
yeah, kind of. They all work as lumberjacks. It's pretty good. Very fitting. That's a solid pick. Abby.
When I got music,
I got a place to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with Jared teed me up real nicely there for Hot Rod Circuits. If it's cool with you, it's cool with me.
The predecessor.
Yes. So I'm going to go with The Power of Vitamins being probably my favorite song off of that one. Power of the vitamins, even more underrated than the album Jared mentioned.
Those songs didn't really have music videos or like airplay or anything like that that would make you think that people listened to it before Sorry About Tomorrow. But when they play those songs live, people go absolutely nuts. Like when they close with like Irish Car Bomb or something, it's like everyone's just like blows
up. Released? Is that kind of the whole thing? Is like a... It wasn't like you could go out and find those super easy, especially.
I think it was
when they were putting that out at the time.
Well, when did they really blow up? That was when Vagrant Records started putting out a lot of those compilations when they got signed to Vagrant. I don't think the album was on Vagrant, right? Like the...
This was 2000 and it only sold 25,000 copies. So...
Whoa.
Pretty limited.
Yeah. So I think pretty much they probably got a lot of their marketing and press from putting out Sorry About Tomorrow. So if people like Sorry About Tomorrow, then inherently they might go, oh, what's before this? And probably went backwards and listened to it and checked it out. But it's a very different vibe as an album. They don't sound like the same band between the two albums. Like definitely more polished and like professional on Sorry About Tomorrow. They did it at Salad Days, I think, which is like a well-known recording studio that some of the best albums of all time have been recorded at. I think it just has that notoriety, and it can't not be a great album. The Power of Vitamins is like probably one of their greatest songs of all time. The song just like takes off.
Like, hold you so tight, it would break my arms. That's such a fucking good lyric.
So good.
What about you, Eric? What's your first pick?
Okay, well, I picked five in order. I picked one from each year. So I'm going to start out with one that was not the first album I heard from this band, but is one that I feel like they had one single off that people liked. I think they had probably a little bit of MTV airplay with it. But the album itself is a very unique album in their catalog. So in their discography, it's a lot of pop punk albums, and this is kind of like a homage to a lot of like 60s like Beatles type music, and it's The Ever Passing Moment by MXPX.
Wow.
It's a very cool way to take pop punk and like that, again, like I don't know how to describe it, but saying it's like kind of like the Beatles, like it's just these unique ways of using chords, unique ways of structuring songs. It has like an Elvis Costello vibe to it. It starts out with My Life Story, which is a great track. They play it. They often open with it when they play live. Yes. Bill and I got to go see them not that long ago.
Hell yeah.
It's great. But the song Two Whole Years is so good. It's like the perfect song if you're like, okay, I forgot to get my wife an anniversary gift and it's our 2-year anniversary. Like just, you know, pull this song out and play it for it. It's just, it's a really romantic song. It's got great, you know, pop punk sentiment to it, but it's got some kind of nifties in there that really kind of make it classic MXPX, but with a twist. And it's a great album in general, front to back. I remember I used to play it at work all the time when I had the ability to pick a CD, and I'm sure that other people weren't vibing on it too hard, but...
Well, this is true, I miss you. If this is true, I've got to say, yeah.
scheme of their catalog, it, people don't mention it. It's not like a...
Based on this album, but you're right.
Go to their real new stuff or their real old stuff.
Exactly. It's not like, you know, slowly going the way of Buffalo, but coming out right hot in 2000, it was a great... It was inspirational for me to, like, learn to play chords other than just power chords. Because the album has so many like minors and minor sevenths and all these weird chords and stuff that just give it this like different flair. And I just love the way they use that on this whole album. And it just works. It's still a little Jesus heavy for my overall taste.
Yeah.
Kick it back over to you, Bill.
Right on. I promise I was not a straight edge hardcore kid. It's just their music was so awesome. My next album is coming from 2001. It is from the band Good Clean Fun, straight out of hardcore.
We start out to have some fun, and it's amazing when we have the time. Then we're not gonna stop.
So many great tracks. Let me just list off a few of my favorite. Today was a positive day. Last night I dreamt that an emo kid loved me. The ice cream man cometh. Today the scene, tomorrow the world, and next year in Jerusalem. Like all of these, like especially I still another gym song for me. Today was a positive day. Was just so so epic. Also for like group sing along, today the scene, tomorrow the world, beautiful tracks, and they're just so like it's almost like Adam and His Package meets a straight edge hardcore band, but they also have like real contextual messages through there, through being vegan, through equality, through a feminist voice, political. They got everything in here, but also can make it really funny and really lighthearted too. So I absolutely, and this is like, this is one of the albums that probably doesn't get as much play. Like when I was looking through like Spotify, like their top albums on Spotify, it was way down there. This was the first album I heard by them, and it just got me in there in a big bad way. I think they actually, Andy, you'll appreciate this, they did cover an Adam and His Package song. So, yeah, they're just a lot of fun, and I just hope that more people, you know, just give them a little listen. And
I don't know that I want to listen to them based off of this conversation, only because I don't know how it could be any better than what I'm picturing in my head.
The song titles are incredible.
Oh, you mean the amazing song about feminism called The Ice Cream Man Hath Cometh?
That's actually a good song about youth solidarity taking over an ice cream shop.
It's not the vegan ice cream man hath
come. It is vegan ice cream too. Good call.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Mr. Dingling rings twice.
Oh dear.
By the sounds of it, tell me a band that's never laughed before. It's this band. I kid. Well, Bill, I figured you would bring the obscure tonight, and you certainly have.
They'll get more well known.
Okay. Can I just preface before I kick it over to Andy that when I started the Zoom tonight, Andy came on first, and he looked me in the Zoom eyes, and he said, I'm picking Metallica tonight. The album came out in 1997, but I don't care. I'm picking it. And I said, there's really nothing else you can find than Load by Metallica from 97. I'm like, it's not even a really underrated album. It's one of their best. Like one of their most.
It was like multi-platinum,
it was so good,
right?
They did another one and reloaded it.
No, I said Reload. That's what I said. I didn't say Load. Oh. I said Reload that album.
People I'm shit so on that sorry.
Album so bad. They're like, oh, what the fuck? The album did great, but people shit on it when it first came out.
You are
and then
so
they
metal.
Did Symphony of Metallica and Garage Inc. and shit like that. But that's not what I'm picking.
All right, give us your real pick now that I've doxed your other pick.
Yeah. Boxcar Racer.
Whoa.
2002. Okay.
that a band or an album?
What's the album?
So the band is Boxcar Racer and the album was Boxcar Racer.
Oh, self-titled. Okay.
Yeah, self-titled. There Is and I Feel So are just amazing songs.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I was brave. I wish I was stronger. Wish I could feel no pain. Wish I was young. Wish I was shy. I wish I was honest.
It was way better than Blink 182. And I feel like it was really amazing.
Bullshit!
Listen, I let you say your piece about your Christian rock feminist band, all right?
Oh my God!
Talking about ice cream, which has nothing to do with feminism.
Now, Andy, they're anti-feminism.
They're anti-church. Taking them off my list.
We're getting sued after this.
Oh my God! Yeah, by me.
I don't know. I feel like Boxcar Racer was really downplayed. I just think they
better
were
than
Blink 182.
I
think they could have been way better. Yeah,
I think I kind of agree with Andy in the sense that the stuff that Tom wrote for Boxcar Racer kind of became a template for future Blink 182.
Yes, exactly. You look at like their first couple albums. Like they're good, but then like he did Boxcar Racer, which was awesome. And then it feels like Blink shifted to that.
You know, we're talking about dudes that started bands and recorded albums at like, you know, 17, like 18 years old. So like you could easily judge and say like, yeah, wow, fucking Cheshire Cat is dog shit. But like, that's the start of everything. Like that's where the ideas start to come out. It's tough. In a hot take, Andy, because Mark Hoppus is such a great songwriter. He's one of the kings of pop punk songwriting. But I do think that that became the template for them moving forward in a lot of their writing.
Yeah, I will concede that like, yes, it's definitely more polished than, you know, their first couple of records for Blink 182. But to say,
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
We never get to know, though, because it ends. Right? We don't get to see
because it was a side project.
Yeah, Angels and Airwaves.
It could have been. Could have been.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm sorry to shit on your pick, Andy.
Who was in Boxcar Racer?
It was Tom and Travis were both in it.
Yeah. Who was in Angels and Airwaves then?
Just Tom. Okay. I mean, other people were in the band, but no one else from Liquid Nate 2.
Okay.
I never got into them, but I'm curious to go through and listen to the full album front to back.
Yeah, I probably should give it another listen.
So if we're going to listen to it, Andy, do we listen to it back to back with like Enema of the State and judge it from that or like take off your pants and jacket?
Listen to it first. Yeah, okay. And then listen to like a couple of Blink albums. And I'm just saying like back in this, because this came out in 2002. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was passed over because people were like, you know, Blink's better. But it's like if you listen to it, on its own, it's great. It's just a great.
I gotta say, if Tom DeLonge wasn't in the band, no one would have heard of Boxcar Racer.
Boom.
So it might be one of those like nepotism situations. I mean, just saying.
Yeah. But I gotta listen to it again. Yeah. At 2002, I was not listening to Boxcar Racer, but that was just my.
That's why it's an underrated band, right? Because people were just kind of like, it's Tom DeLonge's side project. I'm not going to really pay any attention to it.
Bill was celebrating his 80th birthday in 2002. He didn't have time.
Exactly. Big retirement plans.
All right. Bounce it over to Jared.
I'm going to go with 2003, Loses Control by Hey Mercedes.
Stay now, city sister, as the world will end, you'll have your sweet revenge. I'm promising you'll feel better ever planned. Then we'll find them again.
Couple good songs. Go on, Joan. I like. They have some kind of more fun guitar parts ish too, but it's definitely mellow.
They're
same
not
vocal
jingly.
Style.
I get a vibe that they're jingly. I don't know if I've ever actually listened to them.
Polished punk-ish, I guess.
Okay.
Like real dead musically solid. Kind of weird time stuff here and there, but played well.
Did they have a long discography?
I think they've got like two albums and then something else.
Okay. It's a little bit more of a flash in the pan, but fit yeah. that time frame really well.
And I have no idea if they went off to do other things or what happened. But
No one was in Boxcar Racer that you're aware of?
Probably all of them, but...
Listen, Tom, we know you're listening and probably watching from your home. Put out another Boxcar Racer album. I think it's time.
It's a great name, though, for a band. I'll say that. And Hey Mercedes. I like them both. I have to add it to a list because I haven't heard enough of it to speak on. Is that a new one for everybody?
Yeah. Yes. That sounds cool, though.
So Jared pulled a Bill. Give us something none of us have ever heard Random before, one. So it's good.
Yeah, except for it's not like an anti-feminist band.
What the fuck?
Not that you know.
That's true. I haven't heard them.
Anti-vegan, anti-feminism. It's great.
I know, right? I've never met people
Y'all are who are jerks.
Vegan and hate vegans.
No, like, we don't want to judge you too hard on your musical tastes.
Let's drink, let's smoke, let's fuck around.
All right, on that note, Abby?
I am going to go with a spinoff band by a band that also could have made this list or may have made this list for other people. But I'm going to go with the 2005 self-titled Nightmare of You.
Oh, so good. Fuck.
Not familiar.
I know, I'm not either.
That was the movie Life guitarist, right?
Yeah, so Brandon from the movie Life. It's like a Smith's Cure revival band.
Yeah, Andy Stoked.
Yeah, you probably would.
Really what, 80s pop?
Like songs like I Want to Be Buried in Your Backyard.
So where do we go from here? I'll say you're a shining star. You'll do great in L.A. And I keep fixing every habit that I break. Omega.
The days go by so slow. Like, we could definitely do a Poe or Nightmare of You episode.
Oh, 100%. Those lyrics are dark, but also beautiful. And the melodies, I'm jealous of this pick, to be honest with you, because I loved that album.
I was like, waffling on actually saying it because I was afraid it was on your list. I was afraid it was one of yours that I was stealing. So.
I don't know why it's not. I listened to it not that long ago.
I did not. I have not. And that it like part of doing this list made me excited to listen to some stuff I haven't listened to in forever.
Right on.
Yeah.
This is what makes me stoked is finding new music. And that sounds awesome. I love the movie Life. So Eric, what you got for your next pick?
This is a band that's been around for a very long time, has had hits. I think you've probably seen their name on any pair of Doc Martens you've ever purchased.
Yes!
This is 2001's How I Spent My Summer Vacation by the Bouncing Souls.
I put that record on just to make a sound.
From the start, just gets you pumped. Like, the opening track on it is excellent. And it just goes into, like, banger after banger. And there's some really great tracks on here that I feel like I forgot that we're all on the same album. Like, Mantham, great, like, sing-along track. My favorite, and I think the standout for me, is the track Lifetime. It's a ballad, and if you know Bouncing Souls, like, the singer has kind of like two octaves that he sings in. He's got the really low and he's got the really high. And like when he has songs where he blends the two, to me, like that's where it really takes off. Really beautiful lyrics in this song. Starts out fast and then has like actually a softer chorus, which is different. And it just has this really great vibe start to finish on the whole album. And anytime I pop it in, well, pop the CD in. I have to listen to it front to back. It's just a great album straight through. And I don't know that I listened to a lot of their follow-up records. I think they've done a bunch. They've done one like probably every year or two since then. And I feel a little guilty for that. I do know there was a few tracks on like Anchors Away that they used to play when I worked at Levi's. And I was like,
was the one that I'm more familiar with.
Yeah. But how I spent my summer vacation is just, it's like a snapshot and a moment in time that like you'll never get back. And it's just, it's amazing.
It has my third favorite Bouncing Souls song on it too. True Believers.
Oh, True Believer. Great song.
Fucking love that song.
That song is the opening track, right?
It's the third song. I just looked
at No, I'm saying the song, that song.
Oh, that song, yes.
Opening track on there. Okay. I couldn't think of it when I was saying the opening track, but yeah, that song, great, great album.
They're just a great band though. Like, I mean, we could do an entire podcast on the Bouncing Souls. We could probably do several because they're just fucking awesome.
They're really good.
You can write that one out, Andy, if you want.
Oh, jeez. It'd be a lot of singing.
Okay, great. All right, for the sake of time, we'll keep moving along here. We'll try to go a little bit more succinct, especially me. I apologize.
Bill. No. Oh, right on. This one's a bucket list band for me. I've not seen them live. They're from Minnesota. This is 2002 Situationist Comedy from Dillinger Four. So many songs. Folk song, Fired Side Chat. Labor issues in the toy department. D4 putting F back in art. You're just so good. Like it. To be fair, this is probably my least listened to Dillinger Four album, but this is what was so fun about doing this podcast was like, oh yeah, stuff that I forgot that I absolutely love to actually sit down and listen to this album again. If you got some time, they got some bangers on this record.
Are they like Billy Bragg? Because I have not listened to them.
They're pop
very
punk.
Folky.
Think about this. They're pop punk, but think of like Matt Freeman from Rancid with the gravelly vocals. They have one singer that has like really gravelly vocals like that.
Oh shit. Just
fucking awesome. Later on, I'll send you a text of some other stuff by them to listen to. But definitely check this one out too.
Nice. Andy?
Yeah, I'm gonna skip ahead to 2005. I'm gonna jump forward a couple of years. Anne Berlin's Never Take Friendship Personally.
So let me get this straight. Say now you love me all alone. What made you hesitate to tell me with words what you really feel? I can see it in your eyes. You mean all of what
it's just
say.
A banger of an album. Daily Little Friend is still one of my favorite songs of all time.
Five.
Yeah, right? Like, that's what's crazy about this list, too. And I'm not going to go too long on it. But when Wick was like, 2000 to 2005, I'm like, fuck, I don't remember any of these dates. Well, I'm not going to have anything. Right? What came out then? And then I'm like, holy shit. So much music. Like, my next one we'll get to eventually came out in 2005 as well. And it's like, I still love this album. I listen to this album all the time. Anne Berlin's a great band. Seen them several times. Never disappoint. And when this album came out, I saw them in a shitty small venue in Connecticut. And the singer was just awesome. He came out at the end, hung out with all of us outside. They're just an awesome band.
Yeah, very like distinct vocal sound in that band, which I think really separates them. It's a little bit Kermit-y, if I'm being fair. But I like it. It's in the best
unique,
way. And he looks a little like Clay Aiken, which I think is why you really like him, Andy.
He does look like Clay Aiken. He definitely does. And I remember him being very tall, but I don't know if it's just because I'm short and I'm like, my memory is shit. But so
you picked this because this album is basically invisible, is what you're saying.
It is.
Day Late Friend is
this
your
album's so much better than Invisible, Andy. Good job.
It is 100%. I mean, like I said, Day Late Friend and Paper Thin Hymn are awesome. But I mean, the whole album in general, it's just cohesive from start to finish.
Well, they really emphasize a lot of the like guitar harmonies for having a two guitar player band, you know, and sometimes bands really capitalized on that. and they did more harmony style guitar, and some just sort of like had a rhythm and a lead kind of thing. But I think they did a good job at like creating those kind of interesting tonalities and things. So that it is a really great album. Definitely want to go back to. Jared, you got another pick?
2002, I'm going to do Hot Water Music, Caution.
Oh,
shit. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Banger after banger, dude.
And I guess Sweet Disasters for the song. I don't know. There's a bunch of good ones on that one.
It's so hard to pick a favorite. It's so tight.
You could that's one of those albums that's
a couple different singers on that one too, but
yeah. It sounds like they practiced those songs for like 6 months and like went into the studio and just nailed them. Like, you know, when you hear or you have these bands that like they're writing in the studio and the songs sound a little bit like they're maybe unfinished or they're didn't quite develop the way they want. Like these all just sound like they were purposeful and like were so solid.
They've got so much music too. They never stop putting stuff out. There's like 16 different albums.
Love them. Absolutely love them.
In a very like pop punk sentiment, but I think because vocally it's a little bit more aggressive, it kind of
Buck
doesn't
Reagan's
feel like
voice
pop punk.
Is just super gravelly. It's
Yeah.
It's good.
I got to go back. I have a couple of tracks that like float around for me on like playlists, but going front to back to the album, I haven't done it in a while. Put on the list. I might have to bump out Good Clean Fun though, Bill. I don't have that much time in my life to listen to everything.
Their songs are so short.
I'm going to listen to them double then.
Okay. Abby?
I did not do what you did, which is pick albums from every year. I just picked albums from the same year, which is you'll figure out to listen to music. I'm going to go with Acceptance Phantoms.
It's one of my picks.
Nice. Okay. A double whammy here. Well, you guys can both chime in on it then. Yeah. We'll save a round.
I'll let Abby take it.
Oh, no, I'm happy to share.
Yeah, Andy, we're going to share this one.
I saw them in Connecticut. Acceptance was opening.
For Anne Berlin?
For Anne Berlin, yeah. So it was Acceptance, and that's how I got into Acceptance.
They went alphabetically, right? That's the way they
exactly. And yeah, So Contagious and Take Cover are just amazing songs on that album.
How's that one track, the one instrumental track? That's what you're going for.
Oh, Ad Astra something or other.
Yeah.
Really cool to put an instrumental on an album like that. I don't know, like something about it that's just like, fuck you, we don't care. We're putting this weird instrumental on here.
Oh, it wasn't even weird. It was great.
It's great.
It was perfect.
It's weird for the rest of the album, though.
It is.
It sounds like it's more like math rock, like experimental, like.
Like this is what we actually want to do. Is there anybody that wants it? Yes.
Yeah. Abby, what's your takeaway track on that? Or your standout track?
Different.
I wanted to see something that's different, something you said would change in me. Wanted to be anything different, everything you would change in me. Got this way.
Permanent.
Oh, permanent, yes.
Permanent, actually, funny story, Permanent is on the previous album before Phantoms came out. And I remember I was in Coconuts in the mall right before it turned to FYE, I believe. And actually, was it in the mall or was it the standalone one? I can't remember. But basically, Ryan from Drop Faith was working there and recommended that I buy this Acceptance album. I can't think of the name of it right now. Someone might have to check me on it, but it's the one that came out before Phantoms.
So
it's something about dirt.
Oh, okay.
Ground or dirt or something. But dirt anyway, point being, I listened to the whole thing and the standout track on there was Permanent. And I was like, this song absolutely slaps. And then when Phantoms came out, I saw they had redone it for that album. And I was like, let me skip right to it because I want to hear the new version of it. But I'm like, let me just start from the first track. And I was like, this album is excellent. So good. Well, who talks about Acceptance?
Phantoms is fucking tight. It was such a... Well, because they broke up for a bit.
They came back, though.
Calm down.
And they did, something. Which was great, but... Like, they had an awesome album, and then they were like, yeah, you know, let's take a break for a little bit.
I saw them at Bamboozle, the only time I saw them.
I probably did then, too.
Yeah, they played, like, they, like, got off a plane and, like, jumped on stage and used Motion City Soundtracks equipment and played,
nice.
I think, like, 8 tracks and left. But it was great. They sound exactly like they do on the record.
Oh, yeah, they were tight. When we were at that shitty club, I was like, oh, my God, this band is so flipping good. Mm.
Yeah, that's a great like front to back listen. I don't think there's a skip track on there. Even if you're like the instrumental, it's like 30 seconds long. Deal with it.
Oh, I love the instrumental. I think it's great. Okay. When I'm listening to the album, I'm just like, yes.
And I like that they went kind of ballsy with the last track on there.
Glory.
Glory Us. Yeah, yeah. It's a great track.
Last track on there?
Yeah, isn't that the last track on it?
Yes.
It's good. Good. Great pick. Jealous.
All right. So what do you got?
Can I just say, first of all, I feel dumb because I thought that 2005 was only going to render me 5 picks, but it's actually 6. Let me just say that first. But I'm going to go to my 2002 pick, which is a band from New Jersey that was on Drive Thru Records, which you're probably thinking, oh, wow, every band from Drive Thru Records was from New Jersey. And you're right. Yeah. But this band had an earlier album that was a little bit all over the place. It's 3 singers. They harmonize well. The 2 guitar players play a lot of cool dweedles with each other. Great pop punk writing skills. And the songs are just excellent on this album, front to back. You will not be disappointed by Living Well is the Best Revenge by Midtown.
Ooh. Yeah. That's a great record.
So Become What You Hate as like the opening track on there is just, it starts you off in a place where you're like, this is what every pop punk album should sound like. Like this, everything about it is just there and it's great. My favorite track on here is There's No Going Back.
Look at what we've done. Resistance is setting. I can't see you.
I love the way that they split the vocals up in this, and it's a great album to listen to in headphones because you'll hear a lot of stereo panning. You'll hear, you know, vocal on the left, vocal on the right, like backup vocals, harmonies, everything that just bounces around. It's a great album to listen to. To me, it's like the pop punk version of Dark Side of the Moon. It just has all these little nuggets in there as you're listening to it. And yeah.
Just the way it was mixed or?
Yeah. Just like the way that they did the sound. Like it's just, there's something about it where it's got this little bit of movement that happens. Like the song moves through the verses and the choruses, but like the song moves in your headphones. And I love that about it.
Well, Gabe is just such a super fucking talented musician. Like, look at the friggin' diversity of stuff he's put out.
Oh, like Cobra Starship?
Cobra Starship, but there's other stuff too, right? He has more recent stuff or he's producing now or something. What's he doing
now? Midtown's back, aren't they? I think they got back and were touring again or something.
Yeah, they tour every now and then. I don't know if they're on like a full tour, but they played at the Palladium maybe like 2 years ago or maybe it was like 2020, 2021, something like that. Didn't get a chance to go out and see it, but I think they were touring. Might have been 20 years on this album. Maybe it was 2022. Yeah. I really wish I could have caught it. We saw them at UMass with Hot Rod Circuit. And I think I saw them one other time. And they're just a really great live band too. And like you could tell they're like a good group of friends. And I believe that the drummer, Rob, went on to do a bunch of production and like helped sign bands like Valencia, which is also a great band that I got to see it.
Absolutely.
At Bamboozle. And I just love that it's sort of like, I think that they definitely took a lot of inspiration from bands like Blink-182 and Green Day. You can kind of tell in their songwriting, but I think also helped influence a lot of the new wave of pop punk too, because they're not tremendously complicated songs. They just sound good and they are good. Pass it back over to Bill
All right, this one's going to be a lot more familiar, I think, to people. I believe the debut record, 2005, Campfire Punk Rock by Frank Turner. This, it is only seven songs, but it might be my favorite Frank Turner record.
And he's looking at himself like, Frank Turner, wait, is that the guy? Is that my dental hygienist?
Very British Frank Turner.
I'm like, I have no idea who the fuck this guy is.
Bill's like, all right, here we go. I'm going to give you one that's a real crowd pleaser right now. I'm going to throw out Frank Turner.
Mainstream. I'm like, I don't think this guy has ever on any fucking mixed CDs Bill has ever made me. I'm like, I'm trying to think like which wrestling theme song he'd be between, but I'm like, he ain't sandwiched between, you know, the Nasty Boys and
yes,
the Barber Beefcake.
Should we all be ashamed that I don't have any of us heard of Frank Turner before?
Heard of, yes. Heard,
we've heard
no.
it from Bill.
Yeah.
Probably. I thought Bill was talking about a friend of his. He's like, yo, I saw Frank Turner the other day.
I'm like, how's old Frankie Turner doing, you know?
How's his basement? We love playing shows there.
Well, some of the standout tracks are Thatcher Fuck the Kids.
Whatever happened to childhood? We're all scared of the kids in our neighborhood. They're not small, charming and harmless. They're a violent bunch of bastard little shits. And anyone who looks younger than me makes me check for my wallet and my phone and my keys. And I'm tired of being tired out, always being on the lookout for thieving kids.
Nashville, Tennessee. And I was going to do something sweet because it is one of my favorite songs. And I think y'all, when I hear it, it's called The Ballad of Me and My Friends. But fuck y'all, because you haven't heard of Frank Turner.
I mean, he sounds kind of like a with Thatcher fucking kids. I mean, what the hell is that? That song.
Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, you got to say first names here. This is what.
What other fucking Thatcher? What do you think they're talking about? He's British.
I don't know who Frank Turner is.
He was thinking little Timmy Thatcher.
Yeah, see, I don't know. There's a Tim Thatcher, apparently. I mean, is he out of band? Like, oh no.
That's doxing, Andy, technically.
I'm flipping a table. Holy fuck.
I mean, I'm sorry that I'm not as up to date as most pop punk kids
in
the 2000s were with British politics. Across the pod, he's getting so mad at me. I'm like, what we were like just out of high school. It's like it's across an ocean. It's British politics.
I just feel bad because I thought Bill was going to bring a list that I was going to know. I will go and listen to all of this. I was expecting that Bill was going to give us like his typical like Wonder Years-esque list here, and he's got us all over the place. Where
I have not thrown one pop punk band in here. Well, Dillinger Four. I'm sorry.
Okay. We take it back.
Yeah.
Sorry, we ripped on too many of Bill's picks tonight. I blame Andy.
No, it's fine because I got one more.
Me, just asking legitimate questions.
You need to get a history book, Andy.
A British history book.
In the 1980s. Reagan's best buddy there, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Bill, you're killing me over here.
Okay. Oh, you're too busy listening to Boxcar Racer.
I know you're so mad about Boxcar Racer.
Better than Blink-182, Boxcar Racer.
You're like, hey, I got a band from the 80s. Okay, Thatcher killed the kids.
She kind of did.
Well, speaking of Boxcar Racer, Bill, I appreciate the pick. I will go in. I'll do my due diligence. Listen to Frank Turner.
Yes.
We all promise. It's going to take you 15 minutes.
Okay. We all promise to listen to at least one track.
No, we don't.
I'm going to put one on the outro of this podcast so you have to listen to it, Abby. Andy, do you dare give us another pick?
Oh, geez. I mean, sure. So I would say 2005 System of a Down, Mesmerize. It's an insanely underrated album. I mean, it's got BYOB, I mean, Revenge. There's just great songs.
La 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 la. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time.
I thought it's a theme for that.
Thank you.
Are they an underrated band though?
I feel like they are in general. No, I mean, I wouldn't, like, their first album was awesome, but I feel like Mesmerize was a really underrated album. I mean, they put out two albums that year, and then I think they broke up shortly after the last one. But I mean, they're an interesting band because, like, you have to enjoy the craziness of the music.
Wow. Where do you rank them in terms of dead rats? They also had crazy songs.
I plead the fifth.
On the pop punk scale, where do they fall for you, Andy?
I feel like they are right between Boxcar Racer and Anne Berlin. I feel like they fit snugly in there. To be fair, you know, I didn't 100% know it was all pop punk.
No, it's not.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Because I'm like,
we have acceptance for it. It's cool.
Like Sublime. They toe a line sometimes. It's all right. Yeah. One weird track mixed in.
All right. We were supposed to skip Andy, right? Because he had acceptance, but okay, that's fine.
I did, yeah.
You got an extra pick, Andy. That's all. He's like, shit, I better do some Google research. All right, Jared, you got another one?
2003 again. The Bronx. The Bronx. Nice.
They were the kind of like cool the bands out of that time, right? Like, right, because there were all these like rock and roll revival, like Rolling Stones types bands that came out, the Hives, the Strokes, the whatevers, and then the Bronx is like that, but actually good.
More yelly.
A lot of hype on that record. Like, just... It's loud and it's
like oh yeah.
It's center stage.
The record itself is a lot of energy.
Have you ever seen them live?
One time. In the middle of that tornado or monsoon, whatever, that hit freaking New York City. I saw black storm clouds rolling over the stage as all the banners were like sideways flailing up, and somebody just ran up to the mic and was like, "Seek shelter." A thousand of us in a concrete bowl just like started walking away.
Jared's like, "You fucking idiot. It's called Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones." And they don't cover it.
The hell of a sight with just like the black clouds and the wind going crazy.
Yeah, oh, damn. I saw them with Lifetime. Half a track. What's that?
So for half a track.
Okay. I saw them at the ICC in Alston with Lifetime.
Nice.
It's a good show. I thought they were better live than on the record. I think the energy comes across more when they're on stage. Sometimes it's hard to capture. It's like putting lightning in a bottle, you know? It's like you're trying to harness all the energy of this band on a recording and... can't necessarily capture it all.
No.
Cool pick. Like that. Abby, you got another one for us?
I'm going to go with probably my album that sold the most records of all of my picks. I don't know. I'm going to go with Motion City Soundtrack, Commit This to Memory.
Oh.
I believe that I can. Decided to die. Sister Soldier, you've been such a positive influence on my mental frame. If I could ever repay you, I would, but I'm hard up for cash and my memory lacks initiative. Goddamn, the liquor
Total Skip album.
Dude, it is a great album.
That's the one that probably has everything that I know from them.
What's the opening track on that one again? I'm trying to get how it starts. So I can tell you if it's a no skip.
Everything
oh,
is, right.
is that your is that your metric is attractive today? Is that it? Okay.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds right. And then it goes into like, is it favorite accident?
Everything is all right.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
When you're around, resolution, yeah, feel like rain, make out kids, time turn fragile, let's get fucked up and die.
You mean LG Fwad?
LG Fwad. Better open the door. Together we'll ring in the new year. Hangman, hold me down.
That's a pretty great record.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And at that Bamboozle, I don't know where the fuck you were. I don't remember you being there at all, but I saw Motion City Soundtrack. And that was, they were really good then too.
Yeah. We saw them with the Wonder Years.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Right?
They opened for the Wonder Years. And the Wonder Years were like, this band was like a big influence for us.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to the first, right, it's Get Stoked on It. Like,
yep.
It's pretty heavily influenced by Motion City
Soundtrack. By Motion City Soundtrack. by Newfound Glory and Motion City Soundtrack. I saw Newfound Glory and Motion City Soundtrack 2019, and they still bang. That's probably
that Bayside?
I think their best track.
That show in Boston.
I don't think Bayside was on that.
Maybe not.
No. This was at Upstate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I did. I think they did play with Bayside also. Yeah,
I'm very jealous that I didn't go to this with you any of the times that you all went. Mm.
Yeah, the Wonder Years one was really good, though.
I do really love the album.
Yeah.
I feel like I listened to it when it first came out, and I was into it. And I think at the time, there were a lot of bands that were trying to do that, like, synthy as, like, a lead instrument thing, and it didn't work in a lot of them.
Another
Minnesota
band.
But what's funny is, I think it was, like, 2013 that I got big into the album again. I listened to it all the time. And Let's Get Fucked Up and Die, like, that song, like, just fucking cranking it, like, so good.
Yeah.
Start to finish. Very it just keeps building and building and building and has this great outro. So good. Wow.
That's my pick. What about you?
Love it. I'm going to go with an extremely underrated band, and I'm probably going to say it, and you're like, what? Who? But this album is one that I heard, and I was like, wow, it's really good. It's a super tight pop punk band, great songwriting, not a ton of discography, but just a really solid record. And I love, like, the first four songs are just like the perfect start to an album. My standout track is Those Days You Felt Alive on 2003 Spitalfield Remember Right Now.
I think I know what you will tell me. I've got this figured out and then you go and change it. You go and change it. I think I know what you will tell me. I've got this figured out and then you go and change it. You go and change it. Go and change it. And you go.
It's one of those bands that people don't really know. But if you like play them on a mix, someone's like, who's this band? It just, they have that thing. And it's also like a two singer band, and the drums hit so freaking hard on this. Like, you can tell this dude's playing like at the same power on every single hit on the entire record. And I love that about it. It just has so much good energy to it.
It does. And I got into this band a couple of years ago through you, Wick, because you were like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we were like driving somewhere, remember? And I was texting all the bands.
We were going on a show together.
I was like, what is this band? You're like, Spitalfield. And then I got into them, and I'm like, man, I wish I found these guys years ago. They're so good.
Mm. It's a really good album. I remember that. We were driving to New York, I think. No, we were going to AEW.
Yeah.
Yes.
We were going to AEW in Queens. Yep. And I remember I'm playing a playlist, and I was like, I'll share it with you guys after we leave, because there was a couple tracks in there that you guys liked. And then Andy proceeded to just keep sending the song in a text message.
In a group text
that kept interrupting the song because it was playing through my Bluetooth. Yeah. So I was like, Andy, I will send
who's
you.
Who's this band? Oh, you'd say it. All right.
Bing! Yep. Every time.
And every time he'd be like, stop. I will send it to you.
Yeah, I will send it to you. And I'm like, okay. Which one is it? Spittlefilicate.
Yeah, the group text just looked like a middle-aged person like going to the grocery store. Spittlefield. 2MXPX. But yeah, if you haven't heard it or you're curious, definitely go check it out. There's some really, really good songs on here. And there's a great like ballad in the middle too, which I really like. Just strong, strong album. Probably a no skip.
Oh, yeah. No skip.
Okay. Just checking. Might be one that I'm like, eh. All right. Dare we do another round?
I'm all out.
Okay. Does anyone have another one?
I do. I have two, but they're both from 2003.
That's fine.
One of them is a pretty popular band, but I'm not sure any of you guys listen to
them. I think you should say it because you keep saying these are ones we're going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You guys have had to have heard of Jim Johnson, right? Yeah. 2005, British. Amazing.
He's British. Jim Johnson and the Jug Band 5. You know, they were all playing on jugs.
Hey, the jugs were dope, dude. Well, this does have a horn section, so.
Got my safe search on, Andy. I can't tell.
I'm going with 2003. Streetlight Manifesto, Everything Goes Numb. I actually have a tattoo of a lyric from the song on me.
I know this band. I think it's.
Do you? Okay. What is your favorite track from this band?
Oh, God.
Is it Everything Goes Numb? Because I have a tattoo on my dating history.
Touche.
It's a Performax joke. Sorry, Bill, go on.
Some of my favorite tracks, Point, Counterpoint.
Days that seem like forever. And the days that seem like forever.
But forever is never enough. I like to sing a song. Promise you won't be long. You'll have to be long, but I don't want to get disturbed. Once a kid who never cared about the little things. Don't even bother, cause I'm tired and I'm sick of it. And every time she makes a point, I make a counterpoint. She said it's easy, but in the end you have no choice. And you know, it's only just the way that it goes. Set it right, man, that's just the way that it goes.
A better place, a better time. Here's the life. This is a ska band. A lot of, especially this album, a lot of Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs, like the first song, Everything Goes Numb, is like a bank robbery song. Like The Big Sleep is the line that I have tattooed on me. It says, if only we were brave enough to live this life we stole, what a wonderful world this could be. Lyrically, they're awesome. Tom was actually the lead singer of Catch 22. You guys probably
heard of Catch 22. Yeah.
So he started his own band after that. Kelsby Nights was the only record he did with Catch 22. Started this one. It's got to call it a ska band. I mean, I think it's a ska band. Some people are like, no, it's got too much jazzy stuff in it, and like,
well, that's Catch 22. They're kind of like a big band mixed with ska mixed with jazz.
Exactly. And I think I've actually seen before, like I became totally obsessed and got like a bunch of tattoos of this band. I saw them with Gorilla Biscuits because they were on freaking Victory Records.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But then they got into a fight about that. One more quick story. The reason why I got into this band was because a friend of ours was drumming for another ska band. And this was in the days of iTunes. So they'd be like similar artists. And Streetlight Manifesto came up, and I was driving to my girlfriend's, and it was over an hour drive. So I'm like, oh, I'll put this CD in, or this iTunes in, just to check it out. And by the halfway through a song, I was singing the choruses and stuff. So nice. I absolutely love this band. I feel bad for the other stuff I'm not putting on here, but we'll do more of these.
So did they sue Victory Records? Was their lawyer Frank Turner?
Victory Records sued them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like breach of contract type of thing, because they wanted more records. Literally, so this band only has 4 records out since 2003. The last one was from 2013, and we're still waiting for another record to come out. It takes forever.
Sounds like season 2 of the podcast.
Yeah.
How many episodes did you do? I don't know, 4 that year.
It took like a year and a half off.
All right, so Andy's out. Jared, do you have another one you want to throw in the mix? Abby?
You have another one? I have 2 honorable mentions that I'll just shout out.
Yeah, yeah.
One would be Recover. This may be the year I disappear.
Yes!
Push, push. Fucking, ugh.
Record is so good.
And then it like sold 20,000 copies.
It's not their EP.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry, yeah.
But it's still good. I agree.
I'll take the ding on it. And then North Star Pollyanna.
Nice.
Well, there goes the fire out of my last pick.
edit it out.
No, it's fine. Let's talk about Pollyanna, because that's an album that I think is very important, by a band called North Star, who was on Triple Crown Records, I think, which I think was like
still
Taking Back Sunday. Was that there? Yeah.
I believe so.
Anyway, this is a band that I feel like got roped in with a lot of those like early 2000s emo bands and didn't really get a chance if you weren't like really into like the bands, I think, that they were sort of just like roped in with. And I remember there was a girl that I met on MySpace who drove out from God knows where to hang out. And she was like, "Hey, have you ever heard North Star before?" And immediately I'm thinking like, okay, some fucking shitty emo band again. And I was like, You know, I was too cool for that. I was into Lifetime and I was like, I want to listen to like fast paced, you know, cool pop punk stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, I'll give it a chance. So she pops in Pollyanna and it takes like 30 seconds to really get into it. But then like from the moment of like the first doo-doo-doo-doo guitar part, like that whole album is just fucking rocks on all cylinders. And that's Matt Squire, who I really love his like engineering work and producing work. Like, he took what was like, what we found out is a band that was great lyricist, really strong songwriting, but just was not a very tight band. They were a little loosey-goosey, didn't play to a click track, wasn't the makings of like a mainstream record. It didn't have that. Mm. That was Tell All Your Friends, right? That was the first one. Is that the name of that one, Jared? Is this thing loaded? Yeah, sorry.
Is this Tell All Your Friends was the Taking Back Sunday one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a line from that same song, Is This Thing Loaded? So when they did Pollyanna, it's much more like polished, produced, like to a click track kind of thing. And I think it's probably like when Nirvana did Nevermind and you have like them fighting for their autonomy and like wanting to write and record grungy sounding songs. And then a producer engineer being like, no, like, we can make this tighter. Like, let's add more guitar. Let's do this. And it ended up paying off. But like, I think there was probably this like battle of like trying to still maintain like that rough sound, but make a really polished record. And it's great. It's a really, really tremendous album. Favorite track on that one, Abby? Do you have one that stands out?
American Living?
Broken straps trapping the captain that's playing just for me.
Favorite track on this. Probably, I like Rocket City a lot. That one's really good. And for members only, the opening track is really, really strong. The whole thing.
I was just trying not to pick that one.
It's a non-skipper, for sure. And 202, right? That's like the acoustic track on there.
Digital Me is another good one, too. I mean, that whole album from start to finish is awesome.
It's really good. And it not to take away from This Thing Loaded, which is also a very strong album, just a little bit more loosey-goosey.
They only did what, two albums, some tracks, right? And then they broke up
others. Full, yeah, technically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think they got back and they just did the
re-recording
shoot EP, right? Whatever, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then Tyler and Nick, they did Casino for several years.
Mm. Yeah.
That's still, they just put out another one a couple years ago.
Yeah. And I'll just say that North Star has probably one of the greatest punk covers of all time. They do an acoustic cover of Chesterfield King by Jawbreaker that is just,
yeah,
it's like,
you played that for me.
It's like heart wrenching.
Awesome. Yeah.
Like it gave a whole new like meaning and purpose, I think, to that song in a way that I didn't get that emotion from Jawbreaker, but I got it from North Star. Yeah. And I love it. It's one of my favorite tracks of all time.
Yeah. That's great.
Not the Jawbreaker version though.
Jawbreaker's good too.
They're great. Can I just give one more that I guess I'll call an honorable mention since I picked six by accident?
Sure. I can too.
Will you go first, Bill?
Okay. 2003, The Suicide Files, Some Mistakes You Never Stop Paying For. Fuck Fox News, Ashcroft, and Kissinger are all great songs.
I'm going 2005, Copeland In Motion.
Mm.
Copeland's an odd
beneath
band.
Beneath Medicine Tree?
Beneath Medicine Tree, like them. it should have been on my list, but I was going with picking one from each year.
Yeah.
And I needed to call out Spitalfield in 2003. But I love Copeland. I don't think they've put out a bad album. They don't have a ton on their discography. And everything they put out, I can get into. And some of the stuff's really weird. Like, you can tell there's a lot of Radiohead influence, but there's also a very, like, emo, indie rock kind of, like, foundational piece there that just takes what feels to be, like, these kind of odd-timed, weird things and put them together and just makes great stuff. So I love Copeland in general. You're not going to find a bad album from them. Worth a listen, but specifically In Motion, I'll say that Choose the One Who Loves You More is such a great song. It has this really cool bridge part with this like really vibrato vocal, and it's so cool, and I love it. Kite is a very strange song, but yes, that's on In Motion. It's like him singing over a movie projector in a weird accordion and a very falsetto voice, as like if it's a Disney ballad. Weird, but it somehow just fits on that album. And then I think it goes into like Love Is a Fast Song, and that's like
You Love It's Hard. Is that on that one? I think that was probably my favorite one on that one.
It's really cool. I love it. And their follow-up, which I think was was also excellent.
Would that be Eat, Sleep, Repeat?
Eat, Sleep, Repeat. Thank you very much, Bill. Love it. Please promise me if you haven't heard Copeland, I'm talking to you on the podcast, you peeps, like, yeah, go just check out.
I mean, go check them out.
I would say a track to listen to if you want to get into them is From Beneath Medicine Tree, which is Testing the Strong Ones. I think that's a great introduction to their style. Love it.
Pin Your Wings Down?
Was should I on? Text it to the group text?
No. Thank you, Andy.
See, I think I was very helpful to Bill that night.
Yes, he was.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, Andy.
Thank you. Half the time I do shit like that. And Kayla will be like, why am I getting this weird text message of shit? I'm like, oh, I'm going to the grocery store in a couple hours. Or, oh, I heard this band on the radio on Sirius XM.
Eric mentioned this thing.
Yeah. Wick said something. And I was like, oh, shit.
We kind of talked about a similar thing to this, which is like the ADHD memory hoarding, where you'll take like 1,000 screenshots on your phone to remember something and then you never go back to them to ever look at them again. But every now and then I will, and I end up screenshotting the screenshot to put it further up on my gallery so I can remember it again.
Yes.
So I have a ton of screenshots of screenshots. You know what? Can I just ask if everyone's got their phone handy with them? Can you do me a favor and go into your gallery and tell me how many photos you have in screenshots?
I think I just purged mine, actually.
No, you didn't, Andy. Come on. You're embarrassed.
Sorry.
Let's just say if it's more than 2000 or 2005, you don't have to read your answer.
Where do you find that?
Wow. Yeah, no.
Oh, yours doesn't break it out by
2,438.
Whoa.
Bill, individual pictures.
I did a purge recently.
Just screenshots.
Mine is 1,476.
Fuck out of here, neurotypical.
I have zero screenshots.
Damn, not even like a titty you found online? Wow, Jared, good for you. Andy?
Fuck, was like, I'm trying to find screenshots.
He's like, should I go to my titty folder and add those together?
Oh, we didn't say titty files.
I got too many to count.
Okay, my running total for screenshots is 2,566, and I've also done a purge recently.
Wow. I gotta do a purge. I got stuff on here from when I left the mailman, a Capri Sun during the heat wave.
Appreciate you, Andy.
Then he got my phone, so there's a ton of pictures of him in the mirror taking pictures. No,
okay, here's my question. How many screenshots in the last 24 hours do you have?
Seven.
Three. Hold on, let me check.
Just five.
I have 18 in the last 24 hours.
Done. Okay, that's pretty good. I have a lot of screenshots of Andy.
Those came up on my thing too. Like,
I think I take a lot of screenshots too because I like to do all the Photoshops on my phone, so I need to have all this stuff handy, ready to go. All right, well, I'm hoping that we brought maybe some new music, some new old stock, as we call it, music to our listeners/viewers. If there's anything you feel like we should have called out or we missed, and I'm sure we missed a million and one things, but do you want to share any of your picks of underrated albums?
Yeah.
Hit us up on the gram at It's the 413 Podcast. Whoa. That's the first time that I've name dropped our Instagram on the podcast that someone didn't interrupt me. That was amazing.
We're trying to do better, Eric.
I feel something.
Is that because Jared was just sleeping? You just woke him up because it's usually Jared that does it.
Jared's like, we have social media every time. It's like somewhere.
No,
somewhere
it's just because I don't want it. That's all.
That's fair. We forgot to mention this is the finale of season 3.
Is it?
Yes.
Better yes. be.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the finale of season 3. We want to thank you all for spending what is 25 weeks?
Yeah.
No, 25 episodes bi-weekly.
Yeah.
That's like 25 months, isn't it? Just kidding. I'm doing Scott Steiner math. I want to just say real quick that I'm very proud of us on the podcast for committing to doing biweekly episodes this year, and we stuck to it. We've put episodes out consistently for you all. I would say that we are very grateful for our viewers, listeners, followers on Instagram.
Our peeps.
Our peeps. We have had like some really great feedback. We've had some really well listened to episodes. We're really grateful that people are spending an hour and a half with us every couple weeks while they're driving their ungrateful kids to a private school or working out at the gym or not working at home. Whatever you're doing when you're listening to this podcast, we appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
We appreciate it. And you guys have made us the number three podcast in the 413. Thank you.
That's not true.
I thought there was only three.
Well, no. The number three podcast named the 413 podcast is probably where we are.
I thought there was only three.
Like, not you, in the 413.
You have made us.
To Andy's point, we appreciate you all.
Yeah.
And we are excited to take some time off in August. We are going to hopefully plan some new stuff for season four. Probably some new episodes of Tales from the Pits, some new guests on for that, and also probably more and more games and other things that we're going to bring to the table. But we're excited to come back in a month or so.
Yeah.
2 months?
Yeah.
Very excited.
Yeah. And
can't wait.
Yeah. So this is signing off season three of the 413 podcast. Good night, everyone.
Peace.
Bye. Stood in your room and laughed out loud. Suddenly the laughter died. We were caught in an eye to eye. Sat on the floor and did we sit close? I could smell your thoughts and thought, do you want to touch a lot like me? Too scared to say a thing. Left your house and kicked myself. Put those feelings on a shelf to die. Said I'm not the gambling type. Think of what the two of us have lost. I needed some time to think it out. 7-Eleven parking lot, toothless woman, turn and stop. I gave her a dime in a Chesterfield. She leaned down and kissed my cheek. I was scared, but it felt sweet. It felt so sweet. Asked me if I had a name. Told her I was glued up on some chick. Sat and smoked against the wall. Drank a beer and felt the chill of fall. I took my car and drove it down the hill by your house. I drove so fast the wind it couldn't cool me down. So I turned it around and I came back up. You were waiting on your steps, deep showing off your breath and water in your eye. Bolt each other into one. Bark is clinging on the lawn and kissed right there. Said all my chicks, they smoke these things. I handed you a Chesterfield King. I held your hand and watched TV. Trace the little lines along your palm. I took my car and drove it down
the hill by your house. I drove so fast, the wind it couldn't cool me down. So I turned it around and I came back up. You were waiting on your steps, deep showing off your breath and water in your eyes. Pulled each other into one, bark is clinging on the lawn, and kissed right there, right there, right there, right there.